Hey, welcome back to the Workspace Podcast. I am your host, Justin Moran. My guest this week is Dr. Scott Rosner of Weymouth Chiropractic and Wellness Center. As you will hear, I have wanted to do a sports-related podcast since I started. If you are an athlete, Dr. Scott can help keep you moving and enjoying the sports that make you happy and fit. Inflammation is your enemy when you're trying to stay fit, and we had a great conversation around how he helps athletes and non-athletes alike alleviate pain caused by muscle inflammation. So sit back, relax, and enjoy. Hey, Scott, thanks for joining me today.
Thanks for having me, Justin.
Yeah, I really appreciate it. I've actually wanted to have someone like yourself on the podcast since I started. Well, I'll just sort of introduce who you are and what you do. You're a chiropractor.
Correct.
And you do a lot of work with athletes. You've got a local practice.
I do.
So why don't you just tell us a little bit about yourself?
So I've been in practice for 8 years now. We opened our Weymouth location earlier this year. I've been on the South Shore previous to that, and we specialize in family medicine, sports injuries. A lot of my practice is general population, but I do work with a lot of pro athletes and some local sports teams.
Nice, yeah. Nice. Very good. I'm one of those morning guys that you see, you know, riding his bike in a group of other middle-aged dudes with tight clothes on. Yeah. I fell in love with it, you know, like 5-6 years ago, and I've had a whole host of injuries just related to overuse. And oftentimes I will either go to yoga to try to loosen up or go see, you know, my local guy. Shout out to Dr. Douse in Hingham. He knows cycle as well. So the main reason why I really wanted to have you in today, just because it's something that I have to deal with quite a bit, and I'm sure hundreds of thousands of other Americans have to deal with it as well, just because, you know, we all try to stay active, but sometimes as we get a little older, muscles get a little bit more stiff, things just get out of alignment.
Yeah, and overuse injuries is by far the number one thing that we see in the office. I mean, it's not everybody that's out cycling or doing a marathon. It's honestly a lot of it sitting at the desk and, yep, and not moving throughout the day that is actually an overuse injury, because you're using those things day in and day out, but you're not treating it like an athletic event. While athletes are my bread and butter, a lot of things that we see are posturally related. And so that becomes that focus, and everybody has posture issues nowadays. And so everyone can benefit from getting adjusted and having some corrective exercises added to their daily routine.
Yeah. Let's just take a step back for a second and just explain, what is your practice? What is the chiropractic goal, if you will?
So chiropractic as a whole is focused on neuromusculoskeletal. And okay, it sounds like a big word, but yeah, if we break down, it's nerves, joints, and muscles. And really, that's where our bread and butter is. That's what we focus on a daily basis, is correcting movement and restoring normal movement to areas. Chiropractors are doctors. We go through 4 years of additional training after undergrad, and we have clinicals, and we have to be nationally and locally certified to practice. And so you can come to me as a portal of entry physician, and I can diagnose musculoskeletal complaints. Usually every patient is going through orthopedic, neurologic exam in the office. And if it's not something that we can handle in the office, I'm going to refer out to an orthopedist to get additional information before we continue treating that patient. So we've been around for a long time. Massachusetts is a great state to practice in. It really is more encompassing, adding us to that equation of the ortho, the primary care, and including PT or and occupational therapists, all working on the same page to just get the patient better. That's really the main goal.
Right. Every time I need to see somebody, it's something different. You know, like my most recent one was I had, you know, super tight hip flexors, which was causing my sacrum to go to the left, which was causing crazy pain on my right. You know, so I go in and I'm like, it hurts right here. And they're like, well, have you done any stretching lately? Well, not really. All of a sudden, you know, a quick adjustment to loosen up things around the sacrum just gets me on my way again.
Yeah.
So how does that all come together? Like, what?
So take a step back. And if we think about this more as a physics issue, yeah, rather than a medical issue, right?
Okay.
And we replace joints and muscles with pulleys and levers, okay? And so you're a cyclist, right? Yeah. You have to treat it like an athletic event. And if you don't, and you're constantly putting stress in through those pulleys and levers, that machine's going to break down a lot sooner than it actually should be. So what we do as chiropractors is we correct and restore normal motion to that area, adding muscle work, adding stretches and exercises you could do at home to keep things moving through that normal range of motion. You know, pain is often what drives people into the office, but it's not what keeps people in the office. We try to focus on movement rather than pain and position ourselves as corrective exercise specialists. We're correcting movement in through those areas so that you don't get that pain, so that that pain doesn't come back. And it kind of reverses that typical American medical model where you feel bad, you go to the doctor, you get a pill or something, and right. you get better, and you repeat that process every time it happens. Really, we're focused more on wellness care versus sick care. And I tell it to my patients all the time, it's so much easier to stay well than to get well. And,
right.
and so if yeah. we can correct that and add stuff for them to do on a home basis, I'm not seeing everyone twice a week for the rest of their lives. It's checking in every 4 to 6 weeks, making sure things are moving how they should be. And that's really the main difference between the American medical model and what we do as chiropractors.
Yeah. So let's talk about some other activities. You know, a lot of people love to golf. A lot of people love to run. Cycling is one, another one. So if you're a weekend warrior on the golf course, what should you be thinking about during the week leading up to a couple of rounds on the weekend to make sure that, you know, everything is going to be feeling fine on Monday?
And weekend warriors are great. It's great that people are active. They don't really treat what they're doing like the athletic event it actually is. I mean, how many times do people go out for like rec league soccer and they stretch for about 30 seconds before yep. they run out yep. of the pitch, and then something hurts halfway through? Or yep. you have people playing the work league softball and they run, take that first run to first base, and all of a sudden they pull a hamstring. It's because they forget that what they're doing is an athletic event. If you're not active throughout the week, you have to do a proper warm-up and stretch session before you actually go out and compete in that sport. And I have three key things that I tell every patient to do. And first of which, stretch. Yep. And there's some simple, easy stretches that you can do at your desk, wherever your commute is, to take some pressure off these areas. The next is ice. Treat it like the athletic event it is. If something hurts, we want to decrease some of that inflammation, ice it. Lastly is water intake. Most of us are incredibly bad about our water intake throughout yep. the week. We get busy, we're at our computers, we realize it's 8 hours later and we go home. And water intake is so vital for the muscular system, for connective tissue, to allow things to have that mobility. And so stretch, ice, and water intake is the crucial component no matter what sport you do mm-hmm. to include into your program. And golf is especially easy to get some of this into it because you have a cart most of the time. You have yeah. a bag. You can carry water with you.
Yeah.
Some of the other sports, you know,
a little harder.
You have to go to the sideline. Can't take as much breaks. But golf especially, it's all breaks while you're waiting. So there's no excuse to not stretch, drink some water and ice afterwards.
Okay.
Yeah. Cycling is a little harder, you know. Cycling especially kind of promotes this forward shoulders, this forward head carriage, everything that we're doing throughout the day anyway at the computer. So even though you're active, you're promoting some of those same motor patterns or the same ways of moving. And so your body's pretty used to it, but then that creates that overuse injury and you actually lead to more overuse injuries in cycling because if you're a weekend cycler, you're going to be putting pressure in through that.
Yeah. So let's talk about the work week itself. I mean, you've mentioned it a couple of times. Posture is key. Mm-hmm. A lot of us are chained to our desks, unfortunately. And we're in that position where, you know, the head is cocked forward, the shoulders are slouched forward. You know, what can we do during the day besides the obvious? Get up.
Movement is life. So, yeah. you know, movement is the first key. Honestly, one of the easiest ways to increase movement throughout your day is drink more water because you have to get up to fill the bottle and then
okay.
you have to get up to go to the bathroom. So you're getting twice as much movement throughout the day that if you weren't drinking water, you would just be chained to your desk. You know, there's been a crazy shift in some workplace dynamics over the last few years with standing desks. Mm. And you see treadmill desks now and all these crazy contraptions that they sell. And you get ads on Facebook and Instagram about. Some of them are good. Some of them are bad. Because we take a sedentary population and we tell them to stand all day long now, what kind of issues is that going to create in the long run?
Okay.
You know, we look at people that work retail and they have lower back issues and lower extremity issues versus the typical upper back, neck issues that we see in our sedentary population. So is that going to push them towards that lower back issue? Because now you're not used to using those muscle groups and putting stress in through that spine. Truly a combination of sitting and standing is great. So those transition desks that can move up and down.
Oh, yeah.
People just have to use them how they're supposed to be. And I typically recommend a 70-30 split, 70 standing, 30% sitting for my patients.
Okay.
If you don't have that option, there's a lot that you can do to alter your desk so that it kind of works a little bit for you. And sitting by nature is very lazy. We're using the chair to our advantage.
Yeah.
It's doing all the work. So we should allow it to do all of that work. So using a desktop, if you have a keyboard and a mouse that you can extend, whether wireless or a longer cord, bring it all the way to the edge of the desk. Most people put the keyboard back and have papers in front of their keyboard and are typing over the papers. But really, if you bring the keyboard and that mouse all the way to the edge of the desk and then align your chair, the armrest height, with the desk, now it's one continuous plane.
Okay.
And so you can use the chair to your advantage. I also recommend sitting as far back in the chair as possible. Most people sit on the edge of their seat and kind of go towards the computer. Well, the keyboard and mouse can move, so let's move it towards you. And so this way, you're fully supported while you're trying to work at the desk. Other things, monitor height is a big thing. Typically speaking, you want the top of the monitor at eye level.
Eye level.
So this way, you can just scan with the eyes. Especially in the finance world, they use dual monitors.
Sure.
I'm not a huge fan of dual monitors because most people are just going to swing their head back and forth. They're not actually going to move their body. And I always recommend trying to kitty corner dual monitors.
I see.
And actually moving your body when you have to go from screen to screen versus moving your head side to side.
Okay.
It's just going to create a repetitive stress injury in through there.
Okay.
Those are some workarounds for desktops. Laptops, a little harder because they're all on one thing, keyboard, mouse, and screen. So external keyboards and mouse with a laptop is preferable. And then something that you can elevate that laptop screen to make it a little closer to eye level. So this way you're not going all the way down towards the laptop.
Awesome. Yeah. Those are some great tips.
Yeah. Thank you.
It seems like you thought about that.
I have. It comes up a lot. It's just the nature of the work industry nowadays. And like I said, majority of patients, some of our athletes coming in, we're on technology so much nowadays that posture is one of the first things that we have to correct. Because if we don't, some of those other injuries are going to get overlooked, and we start to get into this pattern where we're not actually correcting anything. If the posture is out of alignment right off the bat, you're asking some of these muscle groups to do more throughout the day, and then you go to try and work out, and now you're lifting improperly, you're not moving how you should be, and it's just going to create inflammation and stress.
Right. So talk about inflammation a little bit. You can help alleviate it, but there's a lot more that we can do to help alleviate it as well, including diet and supplements. I've messed around a little bit with the turmeric supplement every now and again. Talk a little bit about, you know, some quick tips on how we can reduce inflammation by simply adding or reducing certain foods or supplements.
And I mean, diet is the biggest thing. You can't out-train a bad diet. Honestly, you can work out as much as you can, but if you're going to Dunkin' Donuts right after and grabbing a donut, no bad ill will towards Dunkin', but it's going to create an inflammation. And honestly, sugar is the biggest issue that
we see.
The whole fat is bad thing that started in the 80s
was
total
to
slander.
I love
fat.
Butter.
Yeah, butter is great. Sugar is really the main enemy. And it's highly inflammatory. And some of the easiest ways to decrease inflammation is just cutting that out of your diet and focusing on more of the Mediterranean style diet. So lean meat. So certain fishes, white meat, chicken, vegetables. Pork is good. Pork is big for the keto diet.
Is it?
And so it's a leaner meat. you know, you're not going to get as much bang for your buck out of the pork versus some of the other proteins that you can add in. Vegetables are not all equal. That's the biggest myth is, I mean, romaine lettuce, you're not getting much
out. There's nothing, yeah.
There's nothing in iceberg or romaine lettuce, but typically want to look for vegetables that are the same color outside as they are in. So kind of like bell peppers are green or red, yellow on the outside. They're green, red, or yellow on the inside. Broccoli's great for the lungs. So for cyclists, if you turn a stalk of broccoli upside down, it looks like the lungs. Things like that. And fruits, the same thing. Fruits that are the same color inside and out are usually a little more nutritious, a little less inflammatory than if you look at the, they're called the nightshades. So like eggplant is purple on the outside, but white on the inside. So usually that's a little more inflammatory than some of our other vegetables. So picking and choosing the correct vegetables is typically where I send patients towards for diet. And the best advice for the grocery store is just stick to the outside, because all of the stuff that is terrible for you is on in those aisles.
It's in those aisles.
Your fruits and vegetables, you got your meats, and you got your dairies all on the outside. If you stick to the outside, there's very, very few things that we go down the middle aisles unless we need oils and stuff like that. Yeah, if you stick to the outside, usually you're in a good place to start.
I never thought of that.
So that's a good way to do it. I mean, a lot of the supplements that I give patients are whole food supplements. There's a company, Standard Process, out in Wisconsin. Great place, very nerdy trip to take if you're ever interested in how certain supplements are made. But they have their own organic farm out in Wisconsin. They grow everything themselves. Mm-hmm. They dehydrate it, grind it up, and put it into pill form. And so your body already knows how to process fruits, vegetables, and animal products. So why wouldn't we just take that
stick
as the supplementation versus your ones made in a lab, the artificial supplementation? And those, sometimes it's not every company, but if you look at the label of some of the supplements out there, they'll say something, let's just say vitamin C, okay? And then in parentheses, it'll say as ascorbic acid, okay? That is the inactive form of vitamin C. So you actually need more compounds to activate it to get that 200% of vitamin C in that product. So sometimes they're putting the inactive form of that vitamin in the product. So whole food nutrition is so much better because your body actually knows how to process it in whatever form it's put in. So typically speaking, I don't do a lot of supplementation. My wife actually has her master's in clinical nutrition. I refer all of my patients because she is far more knowledgeable about this than I am. And turmeric, you touched upon that, is great. I cook with turmeric a lot. It's such an easy spice to just throw on food, and it decreases inflammation. But you do need it in a little higher dosage to actually have that anti-inflammatory effect. So sprinkling on your food is great. It's a good place to start. But there are some really good turmeric products out there. And all of these are under supervision. Dr. Oz is great about promoting products, but not everybody needs to be on all the products that are promoted out there in mainstream media. There's things like Boswellia that is great to decrease inflammation. Typically, that is something you have to be careful with. And so all of this is under supervision, making sure that you're talking with somebody that actually knows what the products are, dosage, things like that. Because if people are out there and see something, oh, I can take Boswellia, well, it's a blood thinner as well. And so you might not want to take that if you're on blood thinning medication.
Right.
So the thing with the supplement industry is it's highly unregulated except for whole foods. Because if it's coming from a food source, FDA has to have a part of it. So it has to be under supervision by the FDA. So when I prescribe or when I recommend supplements to a patient, it's usually the whole food version from Standard Process, because I know that what's in it is actually in it.
Standard Process, that's the name of the
company? Standard Process, yeah.
So and if that, we Google Standard Process whole food supplements, we're going to find something.
Yeah, you can only get that from providers. So it's more regulated that way, because now people aren't just going on Amazon and buying bulk stash of turmeric. You have to get it from somebody that knows dosage, knows how much to recommend to each patient.
And what kind of professional should we be looking for to get that?
Typically chiropractors, nutritionists. Some MDs are starting to get into supplementation, and I know a couple of MDs in the area that do use Standard Process. So look towards healthcare providers. There's a lot of misinformation out there about supplementation, and most of the research is done on the artificial lab created supplements and not actually on the whole food supplements. So it's very interesting.
Yeah, that is interesting. So let's talk a little bit more about your career. I mean, the last time we spoke, you told me that you've done some work with some athletes, both locally and on the Olympic level. So sounds like some exciting things coming up for you. So let's talk a little bit about that.
Yeah. So I've made the most of my career to this point, and it's a lot about saying yes to opportunities. You know, when I first got out of practice, I had the opportunity to work with a local rugby team here. Shout out Boston 13's rugby team. They're going for first place this weekend. If anybody's available, I'll plug their their match this weekend. I had the opportunity to work with them. And so it was a very small role when I first started with them, just going to practice once or twice. I joined them pretty late in the season. They were in the championship game. So I got to do some sideline care for them. And then the next season, it kind of took on a role of itself. And I started coordinating other medical providers for the site. And now I'm in my eighth season with them, and I'm the medical director for them. So I do all the on-field care and off-field care for them. So off-field care is mostly diagnosing sprain strains, doing pretty much what I do in the office chiropractically, running through orthopedic exams, screening for concussions, things like that. And all the on-field care is the emergency care. In my past career, I was a firefighter out in Amherst, Mass.
You're kidding.
For 4 years. So I did that. So I have a background in emergency medicine. So I love doing that portion for them. And so because of my work with the 13s, I was able to start to expand my areas that I was working in outside of the office. So I've worked with the LPGA Tour. I've worked with USA Gymnastics. I've worked with Ringling Brothers Circus when they were in town, which was amazing. And that all led to being able to provide care backstage at Beyonce's tour when she was in Boston, and three nights at Taylor Swift's tour as well. So I've gotten to work in some pretty cool arenas because of that experience outside of the office. And now, at the end of July, I'm actually heading up to Lake Placid to treat at the U.S. Olympic Training Center. And it's a two-week rotation to get to know the athletes, start to work with them, and hopefully parlay that into actually being a part of the U.S. medical team. So,
very good.
Very exciting stuff.
Yeah, I bet. That could lead to some serious travel, I guess.
Absolutely. Yeah. To my wife's dismay and excitement at the same time. She's very excited for the rotation, but a little fearful if that leads to some international travel afterwards. It's exciting times.
Could be gone for 6 weeks. Who knows?
Yep. As long as it's just the games, the Olympic Games, she'll be okay with it. If it's every week travel, I might be in a little trouble at home. But she's a chiropractor as well. So she understands this side of it.
Very good.
Yeah.
All right. So let's try to wrap things up a little bit. I mean, I think the biggest takeaway is ice, stretch, and water.
Yep. Probably the most important one.
For all us weekend warriors, just keep those few things in mind and stay active during the day. Get
absolutely
up.
Yeah. You know, the problem with some of the stretches out there is they're not accessible. Not everyone can lay on the floor at their office and do these stretches. And is finding stretches that are accessible from your desk, from your workspace, because you're more likely to do them. Typically, I recommend patients set an alarm on their phone. Everybody has a million alarms on their phone anyway.
Right.
Set an alarm that goes off every hour that just says stretch.
Stand up. Yeah.
Stand up, exactly. Yeah. A post-it note on your computer screen. Start at the bottom left corner and every week move it up a little bit and around the monitor so that it catches your eye each time and says stretch or stand up.
Huh.
Something that's going to catch your attention that reminds you throughout the day. Because we all get busy. We all have a million things to do throughout the day. And typically the thing that gets left behind is movement and getting active throughout the day. And I think that's the biggest trouble that most of our patients actually have is getting movement throughout their day.
Yeah. And I'm going to plug yoga.
Yeah. Yoga is great.
Yeah. I started it a couple of years ago after an injury because I just didn't want to do PT. And I was like, you know what? I bet I can fix this. And lo and behold, it's great.
Yeah.
So we won't talk about yoga too much. Yeah. But yeah,
flexibility, yoga. Honestly, I see a ton of yoga teachers and instructors also because, I mean, think about it. They're moving throughout the day. They're doing the opposite of pretty much everybody else's. They're constantly moving, putting stress in through those joints. But for the majority of the public, adding yoga to a workplace program sounds like a great plan to keep people moving well.
Yeah. Well, thanks for coming in, man. I really appreciate it.
Thanks for having me. Yeah.
This has been great. We'll have you back another time. We'll think of another topic and have you back.
Awesome.
Appreciate
it. Very cool. Thank you.
Once again, that was Dr. Scott Rosner of Weymouth Chiropractic and Wellness Center. I actually forgot to ask him how people can get a hold of him. So here's his website. It's weymouthchiro.com. W-E-Y-M-O-U-T-H-C-H-I-R-O.com. Weymouthchiro.com. If you enjoyed today's episode, please hit that subscribe button, leave a review, and most importantly, share with your friends. The Workspace Podcast can be found on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen. If you have any interest in podcasting, please don't hesitate to reach out. Email is the best way, info@workspacema.com. Thanks for listening today. We'll see you on the next one.